feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly, well, it's bright and fair. I feel like traveling. I like this verse. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Well, it's bright and fair. I feel like traveling. Let's all clap it to the Lord now. Amen, amen. The Lord has been so good to me. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling. Let's all stand together now. Lay home where it's and fair. I feel like one more time now. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Amen. I feel like traveling on. Well, it's bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Hallelujah. I want you to just raise your hands to him as our brother Daniel comes. Oh, Lord. You're beautiful, isn't he? And your face, it is all I see. For when your eyes are child, your grace, it abounds to me. Lord, please light the fire. Oh, Lord, yes, please light the fire. Hallelujah. That once it burned bright and clear, replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. Without any music now. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful, and your face, it is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Can we just pray together? Heavenly Father, what a privilege and an honor to be here, Lord. To stand before the purchased of your blood. I don't use those terms lightly, but Lord, it is an honor and a privilege. Father, we want to approach this desk reverently, humbly, realizing, Lord, that the words that we speak are seeds, Father. And we want them to be the right kind of seeds that would fall into the right kind of ground. Lord, I pray you'd come tonight and ignite the vessel that would speak. Lord, may I move aside, and the greatest gift I have is to get out of the way, Father. Lord, as the people may be, Lord, some weary and tired in the middle part of the week, Father, I pray you'd refresh them tonight, Lord. Strengthen each and every one, Father. Lord, ignite the word, Father. Ignite the, Lord, the revelation to our heart tonight of what we have need of, Lord. Take preeminence, take control of this service. My thoughts, my words, my actions, Father, may it be pleasing in your sight. May we leave this building, Lord, with our hearts burning within us. Bless us now as we enter into the most important part of the service, the breaking of the bread of life. Lord, may it not be a man that breaks the bread. May it be you that comes tonight and breaks the bread of life to each and every heart and give us that spiritual food in due season we have desire of tonight. We commit it now into your hands for the sake, honor, and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you tonight. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly an honor to be with you. And appreciate Brother Jeff extending the invitation for us to come. We've been down at the camp there, Brother Sieverts, and I was with Brother Paul LaFontaine this past weekend, and he set me up, and so I've been set up. So it's a good setup. It's an honor to be here. I've known Brother Jeff and Brother Lonnie for quite some time, and it's just an honor to be here with you. And trust something be said to bless you and encourage you and strengthen you and help you on life's journey. John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, we'll go right into the Word. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14, very familiar scripture. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. May God add His blessings to the Word. You can be seated this evening. I want to take for a thought just for a few minutes this evening, hopefully not to tarry you too long, but speak to you on the bosom of the Father. I had a sister email me a question some time ago, and she asked me about John 1:18, and she says, what does that mean? That Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. And at the time, I didn't have the answer. I had never really studied it, never really heard it preached on much as a subject matter. And after the Lord began to unveil some things to me, I've taken about, 10 or 15 services on the subject. So I thought that maybe I would try to condense those series of meetings into one here tonight. So you pray fast and I'll speak fast. The bosom of the Father, begin to look. Brother Bram tells us that when you look at a subject matter, we can't just take one verse and isolate, neither can we take one quote and isolate and make some kind of a doctrine out of it. We've got to find continuity of the Scriptures. And that's one thing that I find that many people are lacking around this message. Instead of finding continuity through the message and through the Scriptures, they'll isolate a quote or even isolate a Scripture, and they'll come up with a doctrine that's not even actually scriptural, even though they may have a Scripture. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because many people will take Matthew 28:19, which is the word of Jesus, and they'll take it over Acts 2:38, and they'll make a doctrine that of the baptism in titles, and it's not even scriptural to baptize in titles, even though they have a scripture for it. We're together. So you have to find continuity, and the thing about it is that when Peter come on the day of Pentecost and he preached the sermon that he didn't preach anything different than Jesus did. He just used different terminology. And that's the thing that's where revelation comes into play, that what Jesus said, Peter had the revelation of what he said. And both of them together said the same thing. They just, I just wonder today that, you know, Brother Bram said, if we take our present attitude that we have today against either somebody or certain ministries or whatever and put it in Bible times, how would we have reacted when Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and didn't quote Jesus verbatim? I wonder how many would have said amen to his doctrine because he didn't quote Jesus verbatim. And many times I've been accused of not preaching the message, maybe because I didn't quote Brother Branham verbatim, but yet we're saying the same thing. Peter and Jesus said the same thing, even though Peter didn't quote Jesus verbatim. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So we have to find continuity of the scriptures. And so when I begin to look at the bosom of the Father, I went all the way back to Genesis and I wanted to find continuity of what this was about. This bosom of the Father and this position that Jesus held. Now, the Bible says that no man hath seen God at any time. That's the fatherhood attribute of God. No man hath seen God at any time. And I hope you understand tonight I'm not going to bring anything new with ministers that you have here. Certainly not going to be anything new, but just to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. No man hath seen the attribute of the Father at any time, but Jesus declared the attribute, declared the invisible God to the people. He became the fullness of God on the earth in a man, but he was still God in flesh. Even though the flesh wasn't God, but yet he declared who the Father was. Whatever Jesus' attitude was, is what the Father's attitude was. Whatever Jesus' character was, is what the Father's character was. Because Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, I love, I've been so long with you that you don't know who I am. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now you can't make the scriptures contradict because the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. And Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it takes an understanding of continuity of the Word to find out what the Word is saying. So Jesus held a position in the bosom of the Father. So I begin to go back in the Scriptures and trying to find about this bosom of the Father. So I want to take you on a journey tonight and show you some things about the Word and maybe help you in your position in the Word of God. When someone takes something or somebody to their bosom, it shows something that is very precious to them. It shows something that they're trying to protect. It shows something that has a lot of value when you embrace them. Brother Bam tells us that a man, you know, other than your wife or your mother or child or whatever, to not embrace a woman because she leaves an imprint upon your life. And when you embrace the opposite sex to your bosom, Brother Bam said, we're not to do that because of the sensations and so forth. So it's something that is precious when you embrace your wife and your children. It's something you hold dear. So when we see Jesus in the bosom of the Father was a position that he held. So I began to look in the scriptures about this bosom. And the Bible tells us in way back in Genesis when Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. We know what happened in the garden. And when you begin to see what it took for Eve to be redeemed and for Eve to be restored back to the side of Adam, it was actually a union that caused her to be restored back to Adam's side. It was a union that caused the fall. Therefore, it was a union that caused her to be restored. And what happened, Adam had to embrace her to himself and actually bring her to his bosom. And when that happened, he placed seed in her, and that's what caused her salvation. Because if God would have come down that evening in the cool of the evening and found her impregnated by the seed of the serpent, he would have killed her. But yet what saved her was Adam embracing her to his bosom. It was a position that she held now that when Adam pulled her to his bosom that it was now placing seed inside of her through a physical act of a union that she now held a position that she had never had before, and this was actually what saved her was the seed that now had been placed inside of her. And it's the same thing when you look at Sarah when she told God he was a liar. In Genesis 18, he said, why did Sarah laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. What was it that saved her? She held a position under the headship of Abraham that God couldn't kill her without killing Abraham. What a position that the bride of Jesus Christ holds tonight. That as our brother said when he was singing, God doesn't see you, he sees the blood. Because we have come into an invisible union in this hour that we have been covered by the blood, which is the seed word of God. My, I tell you what a position that God has placed us in. And listen, friend, it's not your choosing that did it. It's his choosing of the bride. So when Adam brought her to himself, to his bosom, there was a union that took place. Now remember, we're in another Eden in this hour. It's Satan's Eden, but yet it's an Eden. So if it took a union in the first Eden to restore fallen Eve, then there had to be a union in the last Eden to restore the last fallen Eve. Right? That's what Brother Bam told us, that we was the last Eve. Now, if it took a union then, then it's going to take a union now. But we know the union today is not physical. It's spiritual. Because John was told, John's a type of the bride, the prophet tells us. John was told in Revelation 10 to take the book and eat the book. Right? And so when the Lamb came and mighty angel came in Revelation 10 and had the book open, John was told to take the book and then eat the book. Now notice the similarity between what happened in the garden with the fall and now John in Revelation being a type of the last day bride. It was eating in the garden that caused the fall. We know it wasn't a physical eating, it was an act, but yet the word eat is used. You understand? Now John is told to eat the book. It's relationship. It's an intimate relationship that is going on in this hour. That's why Brother Branham had to preach invisible union of the bride. Because that's what's going on right now. It is not a physical act. It is a spiritual union that's going on between Christ and His bride. Can you say amen? And with that happening in this hour, with the prophet coming on the scene and declaring that no longer call you church, I call you bride. That he said he slipped the wedding band of unmerited grace upon our finger. So there's a union that has gone on this hour. And that's what causes us to be pulled to his bosom and to put us in a position of protection. My, in Genesis 16:4, I want to show you a principle with the help of the Lord tonight. Show you a principle there about the bosom. Genesis 16:4. This is when Abram took Hagar, and she conceived and was going to bear Ishmael. The Bible says he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. Now notice the wording here. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now I want you to notice what happened with Hagar. Hagar was an Egyptian slave. But yet when Sarah gave Hagar to Abram, and Abram brought Hagar to his bosom, there was now a union that took place, and now Hagar in her eyes, she sees herself the same as Sarah. That's why she was despised. She despised Sarah, because now with the act of a union that took place between Abram and Hagar, put her on the same level as Sarah. Because he had took her to his bosom. I just want to show you a principle and take it all the way through and show you your position as the bride of Christ. So when Hagar was taken into his bosom and she conceived seed, now she thinks in her mind, I'm the same as Sarah. Because of the act of a union. Because she is now in a position that Abram took her to himself and placed her in a position as being a wife. My, I tell you, friend, there's so much in this hour with the invisible union that's going on that should absolutely ignite something in our hearts that we have conceived. We've not just received seed, but Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Can you say amen? There's a difference in receiving seed and conceiving seed. And if we have been impregnated by the word of this hour, friend, it is because we're in an invisible union. He has pulled us to his bosom. Deuteronomy 13:6, I'm just going to take some scriptures and lay this foundation by biblical principles. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 13:6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Notice what the wording, wife of thy bosom. So there's a connection with wife and bosom. Deuteronomy 28:54. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom. Once again, the same connection there with wife and bosom in verse 56 of the same chapter, Deuteronomy 28. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom. So we see the connection between husband and wife is the connection with bosom. It's something that is embraced, a position that they now hold. In Psalm 86:11, listen what Brother Branham tells us in Invisible Union, uses this scripture. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Brother Branham uses this scripture in Invisible Union. Unite my heart. That word unite means to be joined. Now when Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, they two were one. John 17, Jesus declares him and the Father are one. Is that right? And he prays that you and I would come to the same oneness that he and the Father had. So as you see Jesus, you've seen the Father because the two are one. I'm going to show you something. Why is that? Because Jesus holds a position in the bosom of the Father that no one else holds. It doesn't declare that anybody in the Scripture has this position but Jesus. But yet we see in the Scripture, in John 13, also in John chapter 20, we see a man on the earth that now fulfills a position in the bosom of Jesus. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, but there was only one person that is ever recorded in Scripture that was in the bosom of Jesus. And that was John. And John types the bride. Praise the Lord. So when Brother Branham preached invisible union, when you talk about a union, when you talk about two separate entities becoming one, as husband and wife become one, and Jesus and the Father was one, and the oneness that Jesus had with the Father is not even the same as husband and wife. Because Brother Branham was asked about that. He says, well, you see me, but you don't see my wife. He said, it's not the same oneness. Because when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So there's a oneness that is to be expressed in this hour that nobody has ever expressed before. That we can say, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. I'll prove that to you by the Word. When you've seen me, if we're in that union, if we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we've come to a Word birth, we can say with boldness, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. My, what a position you and I hold in this hour. Now, that word unite, as I said, as David said, unite my heart to fear thy name. It means to be joined or to be united. And Webster declares that unite means to bring together so as to form a whole. To bring together as to form a whole. In other words, two things coming together, and when they're apart, they're not a whole. They're divided. They're separate. But when they come together, they make a whole. Now, we have to understand that Genesis 1, 26 and 27 declares what the image of God is. The image of God is not just male only. The image of God is male and female. Are we together? That's how God made the first man on the earth, was male spirit and female spirit in a male body. And then he separated the two and called her woman. She wasn't Eve till after the fall. So notice now, God's image is male and female. Two parts make one image of God. So when Brother Branham preaches invisible union, we've got, as he said, the Chinese laundry. And listen, friend, when Brother Branham tells us these stories and parables, they're more than just stories and parables. That when Brother Branham tells us about the Chinese laundry, that the man would tear the piece of paper a certain way, and if you wanted your laundry back, you had to have the other piece. Right? And we are that other piece. Christ, when he was smitten at Calvary, there was a piece of him smitten off at Calvary that Brother Branham said was the bride that came forth out of him. And he said when Michelangelo smote the piece off the right knee of Moses, the statue, he said he couldn't replace that. He said, but what was smitten off Christ at Calvary will be replaced at his side in Eden in a millennium. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Listen now, I got a little bit of scripture to read, so bear with me. 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Can we say amen? And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. or one member be honored, all the members rejoice, because we're a unified body, or we should be. We should be so close one to another as a unified body that when one member suffers, we suffer with them. When one member is blessed, we ought to rejoice with them, not get jealous over their blessing. Rejoice with them. Now notice that word baptized there in verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized. Now we're talking about this unity of joining together with the bosom of Jesus Christ, coming together in that perfect union as husband and wife. And by one Spirit are we all baptized. And I looked up the word baptized in the original Greek, which is baptizo. And it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse or to submerge, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, or to bathe. Listen now. To overwhelm, not to be confused with the word bapto, the clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. It is a recipe for making pickles. And it is helpful because it uses both words. This is a two-part word of baptizo. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should be first dipped, bapto, into boiling water, and then baptized, baptizo, in the vinegar solution. So it's two parts. Listen now. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution. Now it's talking about being baptized into one body. Now he uses the analogy or the metaphor of a cucumber becoming a pickle. Now it seems like an odd thing to use, but it certainly does prove our point. When we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, we was in one form. We come into the world by sin and speaking lies. Is that right? Shaping iniquity, come forth speaking lies. We was all sinners. We was all on the same level. I don't care if you've ever drank, smoked, cussed, committed adultery. If you've never done anything wrong, anything sinful, you still need to be born again. Because we're born in sin by sex desire. Therefore, we all need to be born again. And we all come to the world, let me say it to you this way, we all come into the world as cucumbers. And the only way we can be transformed into a pickle is we've got to be submerged, first of all, in water. We've got to be baptized, Acts 2:38. But there's another step that's got to be taken even after the initial baptism. Because being baptized in water doesn't save you. Judas was baptized. And prophet of God says when Judas was baptized, Satan was baptized. That's what he said. And it didn't save him. He was still a son of perdition. So just going to a watery grave, many times people go down a dry center, come up a wet center. That in itself don't save you. Because John said, I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me that'll baptize you with the fire and Holy Ghost. Right? So there's two stages that this cucumber's got to go through to become a pickle. It's dipped in boiling water, and then it's got to go, not only be dipped in vinegar, it's got to stay there. It's got to sit in a vinegar solution until it takes on the attributes of the vinegar. Amen. It's got to stay in the atmosphere of that solution until the two become one. And once you take that cucumber that used to be a cucumber out of the solution, it can never be a cucumber again. Amen. That's why I do believe in the doctrine to a degree of once saved, always saved, that if you ever get born by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can never go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. God is not an Indian giver. God don't save you today to lose you tomorrow. The problem is people didn't get saved. That's the reason they go back out into the world. They never got a true word birth. We know what the prophet of God taught us. You've heard him say it. You've heard these preachers preaching that you can be sanctified and you may justify. You can even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your flesh every day of your life and still go to hell. Huh? Because the baptism fell under Pentecost on the restoration of the gift. And we've went beyond Pentecost. We are not shuck, my friend. We are seed. We got to go beyond just on the flesh. We've got to go and be changed. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the way to do that is, Brother Bam said, we lay in the presence of the Son and bake all the greenness out of us to what? Come to full maturity. Now here this cucumber, you put it in this vinegar solution for a certain amount of hours or days or whatever it takes for the process. And then once you take it out of there, it has taken on the characteristics of the solution. I'm sure that many of you here tonight know how a pearl is formed. It's very amazing to me how God allows these things to happen to show us what's happening in our life. A pearl does not start as a pearl. A pearl starts as a piece of sand or some kind of a foreign substance that works its way into the oyster. And then when it's inside the oyster, it begins to irritate the oyster, and the oyster tries to expel the grain of sand or whatever the foreign object is. It tries to expel it from its shell. And if it cannot do that, then what it does on the inside of an oyster, do you know what's on the inside of an oyster? What they call mother of pearl. And what happens is the longer that that piece of sand stays in that atmosphere, then what that oyster does is secretes mother of pearl over that grain of sand. And then before long, it secretes more and more, and that piece of sand takes on the nature of what the atmosphere of that it's in. And then when you open the oyster, when the pearl comes to maturity, and you open it up, and you look on the inside of the oyster, the same characteristics that's on the inside is now on that grain of sand. It has taken on a brand new nature. You cannot even identify that it used to be a grain of sand. It is so changed and transformed, you can't call it sand. Now you call it a pearl. That's why, friend, you and I need to do what John was told. Take this word, eat this word, lay in the presence of this world, get our nose out of the world, get our lives out of the things of the world, quit feeding on carnality, and feed on thus saith the Lord. Amen, somebody. I'm going to preach tonight. I'm not these other brothers. I have to be myself. So you pull and I'll preach. You operate the gift. Listen, when I begin to see how the pearl takes on that nature from the atmosphere that it's in, and you begin to see why the world is going the way that it's going. Because it rejected in 56 the atmosphere of the Word. And it's taken on the atmosphere of hell. When you look around you, when you go to the mall, and I've noticed, it's amazing, I've noticed y'all have the same devils in Ohio that we have in Georgia. And they are reflections of hell. With all the things, and I'm not going to go into it, I'm not reflecting on people, it's spirits. They're good people, they need to be born again. But they are reflecting hell. They are reflecting what they're feeding on. Right? Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but when 9/11 happened, and the planes flew into the Twin Towers in New York City, those men that had flew those planes, they trained on how to fly a plane on video games. Flight simulators is what they trained. Now we've got so many things that are an allurement of all kind of enticements around us, young and old alike. Satan ain't just trying to allure the young people, friend. He's got young and old and middle aged and everything else. He's got anything for you that you would like to be enticed by, he's got something for you. And the longer you stay under that atmosphere, the more you become like that. I did a study back several years ago on music. And I showed some pictures to my church on the overhead at plants that had been put in a room with rock and roll music that died. They could not survive under that atmosphere of rock and roll music. And then they put plants in a room with more like classical music that was more mellow, like elevator music. And they could survive in that because the atmosphere was different. And yet people wonder why their kids are going insane. People wonder why the kids are going to school toting guns and knives, and people are raping and murder, all kinds of things. It's the atmosphere that they're living in. They are becoming one with what they're feeding on. Because whether you like to agree with me or not, you are what you're feeding on. You are what you eat. John ate the book. John ate the Word. So you know what John become? The Word. You feed on the world, you feed on carnality, that's what you will become. You will start reflecting the world. Amen. Friend, it don't take us long. If we've got any level of discernment at all, it don't take us long to be around somebody that we can tell if they've been praying or not. Amen. Because after a while, they'll begin to tell you what they've been feeding on. They can't hide it. Well, praise the Lord. This cucumber, when it's put into the solution, you leave it there long enough, you can never make it a cucumber again. It has now changed even its name. You don't go buy a jar of pickles and say, I'm going to go get me a cucumber. No, you don't call it that anymore. Same way with us. Once we've been dipped and immersed into the blood of Jesus Christ and we've stayed there until we take on that nature and characteristic. Listen, friend, I'm no longer who I was. I've taken on a brand new identity. Amen, somebody. Listen, church, I'm going to tell you what. It's amazing to me that the Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But for some reason, people still want to live under the law. But they only want to live under the law when they're talking about somebody else's sins. When it comes to their weaknesses and their problems, they want to talk about grace and truth. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, friend, there is no limit to the power of the blood tonight. And that's what people do when they say, well, you know, you can't be bride and you can't be this and you can't be... Listen, friend, that's not my place to judge. That's in the hands of God. Amen. Come on, somebody. I would rather be guilty of giving mercy when there's not mercy than not giving mercy when there is. Amen. Amen, somebody. Because listen, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall... I ain't talking about greasy grace and living any old kind of life and covering up. That ain't what I'm saying. Because there's traps laid for all of us. And we all still need to plead the blood. Can you say amen? And if you don't extend mercy, you're in no position to receive it. And I'm telling you right now, friend, every morning I wake up, I need His mercy. I need to do what Solomon said. I need to experience His mercy that falls like the dew of every morning. His mercy is new every morning, and I need it. And if you need it, I want to extend it to you. There's still blood on the mercy seat, friend. How do you know that, Brother Daniel? Because I'm still here. Because the church is the blood by the Spirit. As long as I'm here, there's still mercy to be extended. Praise the Lord. Now, let me go on. Matthew 19:4, very familiar scripture. The Bible says, He answered and said unto them, have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And He said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together. Now man didn't join this. This is what God... We understand this covenant vow that a man takes with his wife at the altar. This is a covenant vow that God joins together. Amen. No, let not man put asunder. That's why from the beginning it was not so for divorce. Praise the Lord. When God joins it together, I don't care if you go get a divorce in the sight of God. If He puts you together, you're still married. Amen. No magistrate, no judge can divorce you if you're in the sight of God been married. Amen. And it's the same thing with us being married to Christ. There is no devil, there is no preacher, there is no bishop or presbyter or pope that's going to tell me that I'm not married to God. Because He took a vow with me. Come on, church. And it was not a vow to me. It was a vow with Himself. God didn't make the covenant to me. God made it with me. He made the covenant to Himself that by two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. I wasn't involved with it. Come on, church. The Abrahamic covenant does not involve humanity. It's not what you can do or what you have done or even what you're going to do. It's what Jesus has already done. Listen, friend, I didn't do anything to get in it, and there's nothing I can do to get out. Amen. Oh, but what if you blaspheme? I can't blaspheme. That's right. Come on, church. I cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. It is not within my capability as a believer to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because a believer cannot disbelieve. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not a make-believer. I'm a believer. Therefore, it's not within my makeup to disbelieve. That's why the Bible says God's not a man that He should lie. It is absolutely impossible for God to lie. But that by two immutable things, that word immutable means unalterable. It is unchangeable. Can you say amen? This covenant that God made with Himself, He didn't make it with you. He didn't make it with your mother, your daddy, your pastor. He made it with Himself. Because every time God made a covenant with man, man fell on his end of the bargain. So God got tired of it. And Brother Bram said, God was determined to save man. Hallelujah. So He made a covenant with Himself that it cannot be broken. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered in any way. My name was placed on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. How do you know that? I know that because I have responded to a call in this hour. Your response to the word lets you know if you're predestinated or not. Church age, Brother Bam tells us what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is. Receiving the word for your day. Come on, church. It ain't speaking in tongues or some of that other stuff. It is receiving the word for your day. Brother Bam said, if you have the Holy Ghost, you'll cope with every word of God. Amen. Listen to what Brother Bam says now. My Redeemer liveth in 55. Brother Bam said, did you ever stop to think this morning as far as returning that is to become visible? He's already here with us now. Today, just imagine that his presence being here today. The Lord Jesus is in another world or another dimension right here today in the form of his spirit. His spirit is blending with our spirit. Now, how many's ever put something in a blender? When you put more, obviously it has to be more than one substance or you don't need a blender. If you've just got one substance, one item, you don't need a blender. You just got that one item. But if you got to have more than one item to need a blender. So you put more than one item, and once you turn that blender on, you can't determine what the items are anymore. Because now they're blended together and they make a different product. Are we together? Just like water is H2O. You take two hydrogen, one oxygen, you got water. But if you separate them, you don't have water. But the two together, the two elements come together, make a whole. And Brother Branham uses this word blending. His spirit is blending with our spirit. Friend, what I want to happen in my life is his spirit to blend with my life that you can't see my life. I want the two to be blended together that all you see is the reflection of Christ the Word. I don't care if you know my name. I don't care if you know where I'm from. I don't care if I have any kind of popularity in this message. All I want to know is, do you know the God that lives inside of me? Listen, friend, when I come in contact with people, it's not important as to who I am or who any other messenger, pastor, preacher is in this message. There should be only one focal point in our churches, in our lives, in our ministry. And if it's not Jesus Christ, we've got the wrong focus. And I've been crucified for statements like that. I've been nailed to the wall because I don't believe the focus of the bride is Brother Branham. Excuse me just a moment. I do not believe that God sent a prophet for us to focus our attention on the prophet. I don't believe for one minute that we ought to esteem a man in a position of worship or deity outside of the man, Christ Jesus. And if he's not the center of our heart, the center of our life, the center of our churches, we are not even born again. Praise the Lord. Amen. People need to read the Bible and find out that the ministry of Elijah was to decrease. Amen. So the ministry of the Word, Christ, could increase. But people won't let the Word increase because they've not let Elijah decrease. Praise the Lord, somebody. That's the problem with a lot of people around this message. They're still around the mountain. They're still focusing on Moses. Focus on days gone by, living in the glare of another age. I'm telling you, friend, we're not in the days of Malachi 4. I heard your pastor say it a moment ago. That is over. And we're in another age. The bride's been caught up, Revelation 4:1. She's been caught up after this. John saw a door in heaven, and he was caught up. That's the bride. Brother Bram said, that's the rapture. And six distinct times, in 64 and 65, six distinct times, Brother Branham uses the terminology bride age. Amen. Our flesh, our bodies may still be in a time element called Laodicea, but our soul has been caught up in a rapture condition. Amen. Oh, how can you say that, Brother Dan? I'll tell you how I can say that. Because we are sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we are now experiencing a pre-rapture atmosphere. Huh? Because the world is in pre-tribulation. The things you see on the earth, the plagues that's fallen, all the things that's happening, don't you realize, friend, that is just a minority of what's going to happen when we get out of here. They are getting a taste of tribulation. But the bride is getting taste of a rapture. Amen. and I like what I taste. Glory. He said his spirit is blending with our spirits. Our eyes, he says, can't see him because they're physical yet, unless there would be something happen that we could see a vision. But he is here just as visible, just as real as he was the day that he spoke to Mary at the grave or met Cleopas on the road to Emmaus. His presence is here. It can be filled with that, felt with that inner charge that's on the inside of the human body. Let me show you something in the scripture. I'm going to show you a little bit better glimpse maybe. I'm sure you've heard it before, but as I said, stir up your minds by way of remembrance. Show you a biblical principle in the scripture that people, I wonder sometimes if people really grasp the power of the body of Christ on the earth. That I believe that Christ has already come in the form of his word. I believe Jesus Christ is coming back in a corporal body. We believe that. But he is here in the form of his word. He is here in the form of his bride. The same, Brother Bam said, direct quote, the same Jesus in bride form. Let me tell you something. When Paul's on the road to Damascus, and he's struck down by a blinding light, falls off his horse, and he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He doesn't call him Jesus because he don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, that's what he was persecuting, the followers of Jesus. He hated Jesus. So he said, he addressed it as Lord. And the voice speaks back and says, "I am Jesus." Now he's declaring, now from another dimension, what he said he was on the earth. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Paul knew that attribute of the pillar of fire to be the Father. Jehovah God above us. He knew who Moses met on the backside of the desert was a pillar of fire, God in a pillar of fire form. Now he addresses this pillar of fire as Lord, and the voice comes back and says, "No, I'm Jesus." You imagine how Paul felt, Saul of Tarsus at the time, you imagine how he felt. He was absolutely despising anybody or anything that had any connection with Jesus. He hated Jesus. To him, Jesus was a blasphemer. He had papers in his hand to kill men, women, and children that followed Jesus. And now the voice, hallelujah, the voice speaks out of the pillar of fire and says, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now wait a minute. He wasn't persecuting Jesus. Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. How can Jesus say you're persecuting me? You're in that dimension, I'm in this dimension. Because Jesus was declaring that the bride on the earth, those that he was persecuting, was him. Because there had been a union in Acts 2 by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That them people was no longer what they was before Acts 2. Now they become Jesus on the earth. That's why Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me." Why didn't you visit me in prison? Why didn't you clothe me when I was naked? Why didn't you feed me when I... When was this, Lord? "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me." Jesus declares that who Paul is persecuting was him. Is that what he said? "I'm Jesus whom you persecute." He wasn't persecuting the physical person of Jesus Christ. He wasn't even there. But he was there in the form of his bride on the earth. Amen. The two had become one. Yes, now listen, friend. Those in the book of Acts did not have the restoration of the word like we do. That's right. Now many people around this message, they preach that we're going to be restored back to a book of Acts. I kind of doubt that. Because the book of Acts didn't take a rapture. I believe in the book of Acts. I believe in writing the book of Acts of miracles and signs and wonders in our church. Absolutely. Prophet of God said she puts forth another vine, they'll write a book of Acts behind it. But listen, friend, we can't stop at the book of Acts. Come on, church, we got to go back to Eden. All the way back to the beginning. I don't want to stop at the book of Acts. The book of Acts still had a lot of strife and contention in the church. I don't know how many Bible readers we got here, but there were still a lot of problems in the book of Acts. I'm not interested in having another book of Acts on that level. I want to go all the way back to where Adam fell from. Not where the first church fell from where Adam fell from. Listen, friend, Jesus didn't die to redeem us back to what the church of Acts fell from. He died to redeem us back to what Adam fell from. And these people that had received this union with Jesus through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Jesus is saying, that's me. That's me in another form. What do you think we are? We are Jesus in another form. You know why it's so hard for us to believe that? You know, we can say amen to that, and we can read it in the message, and we can read it in the word, and we can read the quotes where Brother Branham says she's life of his life, she's power of his power, she's strength of his strength, she is him. We can read those and we can rejoice. But you know, I wonder sometimes if it's really struck home as to the powerful, substantial evidence of that in the Word of God in our hearts. And I tell you why I say that, because the prophet of God said in the rapture message, or Christ the mystery rather, when she recognizes who she is, the rapture will go. So we've not seen the full potential as to who we are yet. Because when we see who we are in view of the Word, in light of the restoration of the Word in this hour, we're taking a rapture. And that's the very revelation that Satan is trying to stop you from seeing. Listen, friend, Satan does not even care if you understand who Jesus was. Satan don't care if you know who Brother Branham was. Do you know, friend, that there are nominal people that have a level of understanding of the Godhead? We are not the only ones on the earth that understand the Godhead. We are not the only ones that baptize right. We're not even the only ones that believe in serpent seed. There's a lot of nominal people that believe those doctrines, but they're not bride. Praise the Lord. There's levels, friend. There's going to be people in nominal churches that are going to be saved. I don't know where people in the message get the idea that it's us four no more. There's people in nominal church that love Jesus and they're living all they know to do, and I believe there's a place for them in eternity. And it even blows people's mind that I say this, and if Brother Jeff wants to rebuke me, that's fine. But there's even going to be people that receive eternal life, wasn't even born again. Brother Ram said those that was good to the bride. He didn't say they was born again. I know that hair lifts a lot of people, but I'm telling you what he said anyway. We either believe what he said or throw it all away. And we get this cocky attitude in the message that it's us four no more. Listen, friend, there's levels of eternal life that's going to be received at the white throne judgment after the tribulation. Listen, friend, we don't go through that, but there's going to be people that's going to receive eternal life that didn't even know William Branham. But they knew Jesus. And there's going to be people in hell that knew Brother Branham but didn't know Jesus. Ooh, praise the Lord. Brother Branham says the signs of his coming, 62. I trust this is all right tonight. I'm just being myself tonight. I know you're new to me and I'm new to you, but I just jump in here with both feet and that's how I do. So you'll figure out pretty quick. I ain't trying to be like nobody else. I just follow the leadership of the Lord. Signs of his coming in 62, Brother Bram says, this stump has grown from Wesley, from Luther to Wesley to Pentecost, and now is honing out those Pentecostals, those that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And shall come someday the headstone, Christ Jesus, in these last days. And will have to have a ministry just exactly like his, whole spirit as it gets closer, 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 closer. The negative becomes so positive that after a while the negative, listen now, two elements now, the negative and the positive blends together. Oh, glory to God. Christ and the church to make one. Christ and the church, bride and bridegroom, to make one. Blending. Notice what he says, two elements, negative and positive. You're the negative. He's the positive. Bringing them together and make one element. Do you know in order to have these lights, you have to have positive and negative. In order for you to have an overcoming testimony in your life, you have to have negative. You can't have light without negative. You can't have power without negative. Huh? And you can't have an overcoming testimony in your life without bad things happening in your life. You can't appreciate a healer if you've never been sick. You can't appreciate a savior if you've never been lost. You can't appreciate a deliverer if you've never been bound by something. Hallelujah. He says, till Christ and the church make one, for we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. The fourth seal, let me hurry. Brother Rev says, that Clorox Listen now, still, I ain't left my thought. Union are blending together, the bosom of the Father bringing us to His bosom to make one in a union. Brother Bam says that Clorox, it's amazing to me. I know y'all heard the seals and your pastors went through them, Brother Lonnie's went through the seals many times, no doubt. But it still, it causes me to be so awestruck many times when I listen to the seals. At all through the seals, from God in simplicity, the breach, all the way through questions and answers, seventh seal, He never leaves the thought of the ink and the bleach. All through, how many knows, it's true. All through the seals, He never leaves that thought. It is interwoven through the seals. All the way through. And it's for a reason. You know, many people think the seals is about the, you know, white horse rider and the black horse rider and the red horse and the pale. That ain't what the seals is about. I'm just, you know, in its fullness of the form. I don't see that's what being this is what the seals is about. To me, I'll tell you in a moment what the seals, I believe the seals is about. He said that Clorox, it's amazing. The greatest revelation in the history of the world that many, for thousands of years, men had probed at what this was. And now the prophet of God steps in March of 1963 to the podium with Thus Saith the Lord about what these seals are. And he talks about Clorox. Tying all the loose ends together, that all the men throughout the ages, seven church ages, and even down through Paul, he said, I see glass darkly, didn't understand the mysteries, and here the prophet of God is coming with the unveiling of the seals as the Lamb has come forth, took the book, Revelation 5, the most sublime scripture in the entire Bible, and looses the seals, and he's going to talk about Clorox. That's why many people miss the simplicity of what's interwoven in this message. He says that Clorox was invented or manufactured to take stain, take the coloring out of ink or any other stain they got. He said they got it. It'll break it up till you'll never find it again. It goes back to gases all the way back to cosmic light. It'll pass molecules and everything else till it turns back to the original of where it come from. Glory to God. What happens? The two elements, Clorox and the ink, the stain, come together. And they blend together in such a way you can't see the ink anymore. All you see is bleach. And it takes the ink back to its origin. What do you think the blood of Jesus Christ does to you and I? It takes us back to our origin. Not what we are, not what you see right now, but what we was in His mind from the foundation of the world. Don't you realize, friend, that in the mind of God tonight, God don't see you as you see yourself in the mirror. God sees you as glorified. He sees you in perfection. He sees you in righteousness. He sees you in sinlessness. Because that's what He had in His mind. And that's what the blood is taking us back to. That's why the laver constantly was at the front of the tabernacle for them to be washed. They never went behind the veil but what they had to be washed first. That's why we come to the house of God for what? The washing of the water by the word. Hallelujah. 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 He says all the chemicals that was manufactured and put together, they broke up. And that's all there is to it. There's no more of it. That's why Brother Bram said God couldn't kill Sarah. He couldn't even see her. She was hid under the union of Abraham. Amen. Glory to God. You and I still make mistakes, but because of a blood covenant through the bleeding Lamb of Calvary, God cannot see you and I. He only hears our voice coming up through the blood. But you realize that's what Adam did in type? He saved Eve by the blood. Because the blood is in the male sex, Brother Adam says. The hemoglobin is in the male sex. So He saved her by the seed, which was His blood. She was covered by the blood. Yes, she was pregnated by Satan, but she was covered by the pregnation of Adam, the Word. You and I, friends, still are in a sex-born body. We still have a nature that needs to die every day. Can you say amen? But even in that condition, God don't look at my flesh. God don't look at my mistakes. I still got an Esau nature in my flesh. Well, we got people here in Ohio that's already been translated, I guess. I don't see any angel wings or halos here. We still got a sticky nature. Can you say amen with me? But even in that condition, we've got a covering because we've received His seed, His word. We've had an intimate union with Jesus Christ and we've been covered. He says all the chemicals that was manufactured and put together, they broke up. That's all there is to it. There's no more of it. There's more, no more Daniel Gissendaner. There's no more Lonnie Jenkins. There's no more Jeff Jenkins. There's no more of whoever you are. There's no more of it if you've been placed in the bleached blood of Jesus Christ. The devil can't find you. Oh, but Brother Daniel, you just don't know, the devil is all over my flesh. Well, your flesh ain't you. Don't you realize, friend, that's what the devil was given to eat? Dust? Go read Genesis 3. What was his promise? Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy... What are you made of, my friend? Dust. Amen. Satan has access to your flesh. Amen. Satan has access to your mind. But he does not have access to your soul. Amen. And that's the part that matters. The Bible says, don't worry about those who can destroy your flesh. Worry about those who can destroy your soul. It ain't important. Listen, friend, we'll go through trials. We go through troubles. Yes, we all go through that. But our soul has been sealed, Ephesians 4:30, until the day of redemption. The devil can't touch that. He can't even, listen, friend, he don't even know who I am. He sees my mistakes. He's the accuser. He brings it up to the Father. The Father looks to the book and says, I don't know what you're talking about. All I see is blood. All I see is blood. All I see is a cross. Glory. All the chemicals that was manufactured, they broke up. And that's all there is to it. There's no more of it. Even the very water substance it is blends, there's that word again, blends with the Clorox. The ink now blends a union of the two together. He said it's all clean. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does to the true child of God. When he confesses that sin and stands there justified, even it's so great till God said, I can't even remember it. Hallelujah. I can't even remember it anymore. He's absolutely my son. Verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe in what you've said, it shall come to pass. You can have what you have said. You are a redeemed son. Hebrews series 57, same thought. Brother Bam says, just like taking a little dropper like this, an eyedropper, and take it full of black ink and hold it up over a tub of bleach and drop it in there and just try to find it again. It just turns to bleach. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you as it connects back with what I said happened on the road to Damascus when Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. The two, Christ and his church, had become one, that he was now identified and reflected by his bride on the earth. The two had become one. Now when Brother Branham in the seal says that the ink drops into the Clorox, the ink becomes bleach. Amen. Let that settle in a minute. The ink becomes bleach because it takes on the characteristics of the atmosphere that it's living in. And you can look and you can probe and you can take a microscope and do whatever you want and try to find a trace of ink and you cannot find it. All you see is bleach. Friend, as I said a moment ago, when people meet me and come in contact with me, I want them to see nothing but the life and characteristic of the bleached blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The rising of sun, very familiar. Brother Ram says that's what he proved. That's what that first Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself, the dynamics in the Word that made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave, shaken to life and rise again. Roll away the stone and say, I am he that was dead, so dead till the sun said he was dead, the moon said he was dead, stars said he was dead, all nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's Word, he was the dynamics to prove it. Listen now, and he, as he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. Church Age book, Brother Bram said, that gives an eternal quality to the elect. Whew. We're not time beings, friend. We're eternal beings. We came from the thought of God. God's thoughts are eternal. And when God speaks, it's his thoughts expressed, which makes it the Word. What do you think you started? If you can say started, we didn't have a start. We're eternal beings, but in God, we was there with him as Elohim, as a thought. Not preexistence of souls, as a thought. And then God seen down through the destiny of time. in this hour that you and I live in, that God predestinated that thought to be spoken. Because Brother Ram said the bride is the spoken word seed bride. What does that make you? John 1:14. The Word made flesh. You believe you saw it as a thought? Can you say amen to that? You as a thought in His mind, therefore you've been expressed in this hour. And that, what is a thought expressed? Word. What does that make you? The Word expressed. You are the same as John 1:14. The Word was made flesh. Glory to God. That's why God had to send a prophet. I'm trying to quit. You're pulling real good. I know it's Wednesday night. But that's why God sent a prophet that took us beyond Genesis 1. Moses went to Genesis 1 under inspirational vision. And he's seen in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning God said, let there be light. Moses seen that. But God sent a prophet in this hour with a prophetic utterance of seeing a vision beyond Genesis 1. An invisible union. He says, little bride, you never done it in the first place. Beyond Genesis 1. In the back part of the mind of God. When you was there as a thought in perfection. And God's not going to stop until you reach what He saw of you. So Brother Bam says, what do you got to worry about? Whatever God's seen of you. He's not a man that he should lie. Whatever God's seen of you will be manifested in this hour. Brother Bam says, He being the groom, the bride has come forth because it's part of Him, and it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of the revelations any others have spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Listen, because she is flesh of His flesh. Bone of His bone. All through the Old Testament is woven a mystery of a Gentile bride. All through the Old Testament, there's a mystery of a Gentile bride that is just thrown in here. And I know you know this, but I'm just going to throw it to you. The first account of a Gentile bride in the entire Scripture is Joseph's wife. And I did this to my church, and I felt bad after I did it. And I had to apologize. Because I asked my people, I don't know, there was 140, 160 people sitting there, and I said, How many knows Joseph's wife's name? And out of 150 some odd people, there was 12 people raised their hand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't embarrass my people. I guarantee you the majority of people here don't know her name because she's hidden as a mystery. Her name is Asenath, daughter of the high priest of On, an Egyptian. Joseph, Brother Bram said, is the most perfect type of Christ in the Old Testament. How many know what you said? The most perfect type of Christ. And Joseph takes a Gentile bride. Moses takes a Gentile bride. Rahab was a Gentile. Tamar was a Gentile. All in through there is woven the mystery of a Gentile bride that has still not even been uncovered to the nominal world. Even those closest to Abraham couldn't see it in his day. They came to him, even family members said, how dare you take a woman outside of our faith? Because he married an Ethiopian type of a Gentile bride. Even in Isaiah 53, there's a feminine attribute that is brought out in Isaiah 53. Talking about Jesus. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, said, who's it talking about, himself or another man? He didn't know who Isaiah 53 was talking about. Even the Jews to today still don't know what it's about. In Isaiah 53 says, as a sheep before her shearers. Y'all need to go back and read Isaiah 53 again. Amen. That her is put in there. Amen. Because you was in him.
That's right.
There was a feminine attribute, just like there was in the first Adam. There was a feminine attribute in the second Adam. Amen. As a sheep before her shearers. Why would it declare her when it's talking about Jesus? Amen. Because she is him.
Amen.
That's why Brother Bram said in 54 in the church ages, not the message of all the church ages, just one message called the church ages, seven church ages. He said, one like unto the Son of God, standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks in Revelation 1. He said, girdle about the paps with a golden girdle. He said, notice it's not a man, it's a woman.
Amen.
Brother Bram says, remember, She is life of his flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. Visible union, 1965, he says, remember when it went down, the grain began to ripen. You find before the grain can ripen, everything that stalk has to be dead. Can't you see where we're standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly like the same grain that went into the ground. The same Jesus in the bride form. Same power, same church, same thing, same word. Let me finish with this. There was one, as I said, you can read it in John 13 and John 21. There was one disciple that was distinguished above all others. And it was John the Beloved. Jesus showed him a kindness. Jesus showed him affection. Jesus showed him greater love than any other disciple. There was only one that leaned upon his breast. There was only one that leaned upon his bosom. He uses both terms. Breast and bosom. There was only one. And in the Middle Eastern custom, objects that are carried in the bosom are of the most utmost importance. In the Eastern custom, it indicates kindness, secrecy, or intimacy when something is carried in one's bosom. And here's John laying on his bosom. You remember what Peter asked Jesus? What about this man? You remember what Jesus says? What is that to thee if he tarry till I come? John 20. Go read it. What is that to thee if he... Now look at what he says about John. He doesn't say it about any other disciple. What is that to thee if he tarry? Now the rumor went out that John wasn't going to die until Jesus came back. And it was a false interpretation of what Jesus said. It ain't what Jesus said. But we find the interpretation, the fulfillment of that prophecy in the book of Revelation. Remember, friend, there was only one that went all the way to Calvary. All the rest abandoned him. John went to Calvary with him. John leaned on his bosom. And John was the one that he sent an angel to. John, remember now, I said right here, Brother Bram said there, Revelation series, he said there was a living creature. John represented the entire church was taken up. John represented the entire church. The Messiah 61, he said the church age dismisses at the third chapter. John was called up representing the church. So here now John holding position that was on the bosom of Jesus. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. Now John is in the bosom of Jesus. And only those that hold that position, only the one that held that position was chosen to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. No other disciple. No other apostle. Not even Paul. Amen. First church age messenger. Not even Paul, because Paul did not hold that position because Paul didn't represent the bride. Amen. John represented the bride. So John was the one that leaned on his bosom. We understand. I hope you understand what I'm saying. John had a position that no one else held. And when Jesus ascended, he came back to John. Amen. On the Isle of Patmos. In the form of what? The revelation of his word. John representing the bride. Brother Bram said, to everyone that hears the word, John represented him. So you're hearing the word tonight. You've heard the word for however many years. And so what does this represent? This represents that you have a position on the bosom of Jesus. Listen, friend, Brother Bam said, I'm trying to hurry. He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, church age book. He said, you will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message, this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future ages. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us the revelation or we will fail to get it. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. It is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. Amen. You tonight are a special class. The world doesn't know the seals have been opened. The world doesn't know as a whole that Malachi 4 has come and gone. The world doesn't know that Christ is here in the form of his word. The world doesn't know that. Only a special class of people that are in the bosom of the Father holds a position that nobody on the face of the earth, over 6 billion people, God chose you. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. You hold that position of a special class of people. Just as John was a special person because he was in the bosom of Jesus. And Christ has pulled you to his side. Christ has pulled you beyond the living room, beyond the kitchen, beyond the parlor. Where's he taking you now? Into the bedroom. As husband and wife, now what? To consummate the marriage by how? Placing seed. And the union to be perfected in your life. To bring forth the finished body of Christ on the earth. Stand. Glory. Powerful word. I wish I could preach it like I felt it. Powerful word. When you start seeing the reflection of who you are, just a glimmer of who you are, it'll change your whole outlook of life. You'll stop looking at your mistakes. You'll still repent for them, but you'll stop looking at them. And you'll start looking at who He made you. He became you that you might become the very righteousness of Himself. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him tonight? It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Been honored to be with you. Trust something said that would help you and encourage you. Amen. Can we sing as we turn it over? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I don't believe we ought to wait till we get over there to rejoice. I believe we got something to rejoice about tonight. I got something to be happy about. After hearing what I've heard tonight, even though I preached it, it blessed my soul because it tells me who I am. Amen. This world's not my home, friend. What a day it's going to be when we all get to heaven. I may never know you on this side on a personal level, but I'll make you a promise. If I don't see you no more on this side of eternity, look for me because I'll be there too. Oh, let's sing this together as we turn it over. Oh, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. Oh, in the mansion bright and blessed, He prepare for us a place. Oh, when we all get to heaven. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all. The pilgrim pathway clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a tie. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Yes, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. One glimpse of Him in glory, of life we pay. Yes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. So onward to the prize before us, soon His glory will be. And soon the pearly gates will open, we shelter at the streets of gold. Yes, when we all amen into heaven, what a day that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sing that chorus again. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Praise God. Enjoyed the word to God tonight? Isn't that just one? That was just what I call the condensed version of the message. You know, Brother Branham made the statement. He said, I don't have time to break it down. And God didn't give him that time. So, but you ministers take it and you break it down to the people. And there was about, oh, I don't know, at least 50 different garnerings from 50 different books of the message that all came together and made that message tonight. He's just pulling from here, pulling from there, pulling to here, pulling from there. And when it's all done, you're looking in a mirror and you see yourself, don't you? You see Jesus. See, because Satan was interested in knowing if Jesus knew who he was. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. He was interested to see if the Son of God knew who he was. And so every test you go through, it's the devil, by God's permission, testing you to see if you know who you are. He wants to know if you really know who you are. That you are, it's not a cliche, but you are Jesus Christ in bride form. Amen. The feminine. Amen. That see, we have come on earth to reverse the curse. Do you believe that? See, what Eve got us into, the second Adam got us out, but somebody's got to live the life that Eve didn't live.
That's right.
And that's to receive the seed of Jesus Christ and bring forth Christ. How many believe that? Did you know that Brother Branham said, had Adam got to Eve, the first son born would have been Jesus. Would have been Jesus Christ. And so now, Adam has got to Eve. You believe that? And that's Christ being formed in you. And that's why Brother Branham said the greatest revelation you'll ever receive is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And so the churches preach that, but they preach it on one level or dimension. But the bride receives it on an entire different dimension. It's because it's not a cliche, but we were caught up higher. And we John was caught up higher after these things. Is that right? After the church ages. Brother Bram said it was a good shuck. It was a good stock. But it was just a carrier of the life. But it wasn't the life. But it was a good shuck and it was a good stock. But the seed that went into the ground is now reproducing itself in the head. The Alpha has become the Omega. So that's why tonight's message, doesn't it thrill you? It thrills you because that was the purpose for God sending a prophet. Was to introduce you to the word Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus, Father God, we thank you for the good word of life. We thank you that no matter where you go in the 50 states or in some remote island in Trinidad or New Zealand, that the bride of Christ is hearing and preaching the same thing. And no organization could do that. None of us receive our notes from headquarters. None of us receive our sermon in the mail. But we receive the same inspiration and unction from the Holy One. And each minister in his little study, his prayer closet, gets on his face and says, Lord, Sunday's coming. Wednesday's coming. What do you have for your people this time? And thousands of sermons will go by and God will never fail. And that happens all over the world every Wednesday or Sunday or Thursday or wherever the saints are meeting. Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the one thing that was meant to be that keeping power, to be that pickling solution. And that's the atmosphere and environment of your word. To be baptized in Christ. Oh Lord, we love you. We thank you for the revelation that has been given to us, that we can look in the mirror and be changed from glory unto glory, even to the very image of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We just pray that you would let the word now just settle in. May we take it home with us tonight. Pray over it. Meditate on it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you for your word. We praise you for the eye salve and the clothing that you've given this bride. There was a church that didn't repent, but there was another church that was zealous and did take the eye salve. And she did open the door and she did put on that white garment. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We commit everything that has been said and done, both
in the attribute that was manifested in the pulpit and all the attributes of God that were in the pew. Lord God, now the video has been copied and it's put in your great archive. It's laid away on your shelf now. The sermon has been preached. Lord God, and now it's a recording. And it's laid up. A sermon that was in your mind is now being made manifest. And a people that could respond to it. That manifestation tonight. Christ was manifested. Christ was seen tonight. Christ said, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that we can live out your drama in this last day. We commit our lives to you, Father, afresh. We let the word wash us. We thank you for that word.
Oh, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite, yes, my heart just to fear thy name. Oh, teach me thy way, oh Lord.
Just raise your hands and sing that now.
Yes, teach me thy way, oh Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart just to fear thy name. Teach me thy way, O Lord.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Dismiss you with this song. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. And just come prayed up, ready for the good word of God. You love him tonight? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Pray for the services down at Milton. And all the youth that will be there, 400 or so, I'm assuming. Maybe 500. God will do a work in their life that will establish something that they can never retreat from. They never go back. See, what the youth really need, and every minister knows it, they need an atmosphere long enough for them to receive a birth. Amen. What happens is that people get in the environment of the Word, but they only get in the environment of the Word for maybe a Sunday or a Wednesday. But they don't stay in that environment long enough to receive a birth. And they get back into a worldly habits. And they go back to their videos and their movies and their games and their and then the word, it's never, see, the seed isn't the problem, is it? The seed word of God is it's perfect, it's wonderful, it's the word of God. It has the power to transform. The Bible says we're born again by that seed incorruptible. But it's the soil. Soil's gotta be just right. And it takes a while to get that heart in the right atmosphere for that individual to receive a birth. So you just pray for those kids down there that they'll be in that atmosphere long enough that they're real, that they'll just say, I'm done with the world. I want to forsake the world. I want to put the world behind me. And I want to put Jesus Christ entirely first in my life. And when they make not only make that commitment, but then they begin to feed that commitment, then there'll come a birth. But they got to stay in that atmosphere.
Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart.
God bless you.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. Let us lift up holy hands and one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. Let us lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. Let us lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord. Thank you.